You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, April 28th, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, it is a Mailbag Wednesday episode of the pod. We are going to answer two listener questions here on the podcast today. One of them has to do with the Orioles' bullpen usage and what they might do with some of the younger pitchers they're going to bring up. Will they treat them like Zach Lowther over the weekend, where they come up and start in the bullpen? Or will they treat them like Dean Kramer last year, where when they are called up, they are right into the rotation? We will talk about that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Orioles' plate discipline this season. They are one of the worst teams in the league as far as strikeout percentage and walk percentage go, and it has made them a bottom 10 offense in baseball through 23 games this season. So we will answer a question about that as well in the mailbag. But first up, we are going to do a little recap of the Orioles' 5-1 loss to the New York Yankees from last night, dropping the O's to 10-13 on the season, and get you the five things you need to know from the game at Camden Yards on Tuesday night. So that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast. But before we get to that, got to tell you about the Locked On Podcast Network and NFL draft coverage here on the network, as the draft does start tomorrow night. And starting with the draft tomorrow, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live three-day coverage of the NFL Draft from April 29th through May 1st. Of course, the hometown Baltimore Ravens now with two first-round picks after trading Orlando Brown to Kansas City. So we'll see what the Ravens do with those two first-round picks on Thursday night. But back to the baseball. Of course, before we get to our mailbag here, going to give you the five things you need to know from the Orioles' 5-1 loss to the Yankees Tuesday night. Again, it drops the O's to 10-13 on the season, evens up the records between the Orioles and the Yankees in the standings, tied for fourth, and snaps a little two-game winning streak for the O's and ties this four-game series at one game apiece. And the first thing you need to know from last night's game is that Bruce Zimmerman did not have his good stuff whatsoever, and it was definitely tough to watch Bruce in the game last night. He goes 3 2/3, allowing 4 runs on 9 hits, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, 2 home runs allowed, 74 pitches thrown for Zimmerman on the day, and he had double digits in the hard hit balls against him. There were some balls that were absolutely smoked off the bat against Zimmerman in this game, including 2 balls that were hit over 116 miles per hour, an Aaron Judge homer, 116.2, and a Giancarlo Stanton single, which he hit 119.3 miles per hour off the bat. Zimmerman just did not have the good stuff whatsoever. It kind of looked like his first career appearance and first career start that he made back in 2020, when the Orioles called him up to be the extra 27th man in a doubleheader against the Rays last year, and he actually started game 2 of that doubleheader against Tampa Bay to make his major league debut, and he just got hit around, you know, couldn't get through the fourth, and things seemed to be, you know, left up over the plate. Still did get a couple strikeouts, didn't really walk guys, you know, only walked one guy, but was really in the strike zone. And it did not work out for Zimmerman, just a 27% called strike and whiff percentage in the start. He got hit pretty hard on the day. And the changeup really seemed especially bad for Bruce Zimmerman. He only got 23% CSW percentage on that changeup. And that ball was hit pretty hard as well a couple of times. He just left it up in the zone. Same with the fastball. You know, he seems like a pitcher who has a really good curveball, really good slider, but, you know, this fastball changeup, he's got to get it down. And really, the fastball, again, is hit hard. It was the fastball that Stanton hit hard. It was the fastball that Judge hit hard for the home run. And just a tough day out there for Bruce Zimmerman. So you hope he can kind of pull it back together. It's been a couple straight, you know, a little bit shorter starts, last week in Miami, now this one against the Yankees. He's got to try to bear down and get back to that, you know, at least that 6 innings, 3 run streak he was kind of on to open the season for the Orioles. Second thing you need to know from the loss in last night's game, again, a 5-1 loss for the Orioles, is that behind Bruce Zimmerman, once again, the bullpen shines for the Orioles. Dylan Tate, 2 2/3 innings. He allows a run on 3 hits, a strikeout. Did allow a solo home run to Stanton that made it a 5-1 game, but other than that, was very good. Cole Saucer, inning in the third scoreless. Jay Fla makes his major league debut. He also throws an inning and a third scoreless. Also strikes out Aaron Judge for his first career strikeout in the big leagues. Definitely an unforgettable moment for Jay Fla. You know, who knows how long he sticks in the big leagues with the Orioles if, you know, he gets sent down, if he comes up again at all. But he right now has a 0.00 ERA and a strikeout against Aaron Judge. And that's a pretty cool moment for a North Dakota kid. Third thing you need to know from last night's game, we stick right in that bullpen. Mention Cole Saucer with the inning and a third scoreless out of the bullpen. Third thing you need to know from last night's game is I think everyone needs to start taking a little more notice of Cole Saucer. Again, you know, we know what happened last year. He started the year as kind of the surprise closer for the Orioles and had some good outings. Then he got hit around a bit. The walks really started to become an issue. He was really, really bad. Then, you know, he was moved from the end of the bullpen, the back end, to, you know, more of a middle innings, you know, fifth or sixth inning guy. And he finished the season off, you know, fairly okay in much lower leverage situations, you know, the final, you know, 3 to 4 weeks of the 2020 season. We did find out he was pitching with a foot injury pretty much, you know, most of the season, which could have affected his delivery and his command. And now we look at Cole Saucer. Again, he goes an inning and a third scoreless, no hits, no runs, 2 strikeouts, no walks, retired all 4 batters he faced. You look up now, Cole Saucer has thrown in 5 games out of the Oriole bullpen here in 2021. Again, he has spent some time at the alternate site this year, has not been on the 26-man roster for the entirety of 2021 so far, but 5 appearances out of the bullpen, 7 2/3 innings pitched, just 5 hits allowed and has not allowed a hit over his last 2 appearances. Again, with the no runs is big. How about 12 strikeouts in those 7 2/3 innings to no walks allowed by Cole Saucer? Again, 12 strikeouts to no walks in 7 2/3 scoreless innings. The changeup, that splitter's looking really good. The fastball is kind of the pitch that he, you know, lost the command of last year. That thing is starting to look pretty good. You know, we haven't seen the slider too much, but he is mostly, you know, a fastball changeup guy. Nobody has a hit off the changeup this year. All 5 hits he's allowed have all been singles. No extra base hits against him at all this season. Cole Saucer, now, I'm not saying, you know, he's going to get himself back into the Oriole closer role. Valdez has that locked down, and even if he doesn't, Tanner Scott's, you know, despite his recent struggles, next in line. But Cole Saucer, look out for him. 7 2/3, no runs, 12 Ks, no walks. He's going to stick in this Oriole bullpen. He keeps pitching like this. Fourth thing you need to know from the Orioles' loss last night is that the offense, once again, just kind of sputtered out a little bit. There was only one player who had a multi-hit game. It was Michael Franco, who had a 2-for-4 and did drive in the only Oriole run. He had an RBI infield single that scored Trey Mancini from third base in the fourth inning that made it a 4-1 game at the time. Trey Mancini did have a double in that game. He led off the fourth with a double, came in to score the only run, also worked a walk. But again, only 3 walks worked by the Orioles. Mancini, Stewart, and Hayes each had one in the ballgame. On the other side of things, they struck out 8 times. Again, it's a little better, that number 8, than what they've been doing this season. But, you know, the plate discipline still was not great from the Orioles, and you know, it's got to get better for the O's, as simple as that. And the, you know, fifth and final thing from the game is that, you know, Pat Valaika got recalled for the Orioles as he replaced Ryan McKenna on the roster, who was optioned to the alternate site last night. Of course, with Freddie Galvis now day-to-day with a groin injury, the Orioles needed another infielder on the team. We thought they might have called up Richie Martin, maybe Jamai Jones, but they go with Pat Valaika on the call. And Valaika, you know, did not look too bad in his first game back here with the Orioles. He did go 0-for-4. All 4 were fly ball outs to right field. One was a fly out to the track that Aaron Judge may have robbed a home run. His swings looked pretty good, although he didn't come up with a hit. And he played shortstop. We know how tough it's been to watch Valaika play shortstop at times, especially in 2020. But, you know, he didn't make any spectacular plays, but he didn't make an error, and he made every play that he needed to make at short for the Orioles in this game. So maybe, you know, if it's only 2 or 3 days that Freddie Galvis needs to miss, they can survive with Valaika at shortstop. That's the five things you need to know again from the Orioles 5-1 loss to the Yankees. But coming up next, we get to our Mailbag Wednesday questions. One question coming up about what we're going to do with the Orioles' younger pitchers when they start coming up. Will they be in the bullpen or be starters right away? And then another question about the Orioles' plate discipline. That is both coming up after this break. So we will get to our second mailbag question in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar. That's the new and improved Built Bar that is even deliciouser. It's got the six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Gotta say, cookies and cream, my favorite out of the new bunch. And you pair them along with the double chocolates, the mint brownies, the banana breads of the world on the 12 OG flavors. You've got these delicious protein bars, but they're not just delicious, they're good for you as well. Built bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber as well. You can indulge yourself in a delicious treat while still losing or maintaining weight. Let's just take a look at the peanut butter bar. It's got 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. So if you want to get your hands on some of these delicious protein bars, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So we're back here on a Mailbag Wednesday episode of the podcast, and our first question comes from listener Kevin, who has sent in some very good questions, and to be frank about it, both of his questions that he sent in this week are the questions we are going to answer here on this mailbag episode. But the first has to do with the, you know, more veteran relievers versus the younger pitchers that the Orioles have on the 40-man roster and, you know, are most likely going to start the year in AAA. Kevin asks, how long do you see the Orioles sticking with relievers who might struggle, like Sean Armstrong, you know, or maybe some, this is me just adding this in here, but, you know, if more veteran guys like Dylan Tate start to struggle a little more, or if Tanner Scott's, you know, little struggles over the last couple of weeks seem to continue, or if Cesar Valdez were to start struggling or anything like that. But we know Sean Armstrong has been struggling overall. And he asked, do you think younger pitchers are off limits for these bullpen spots until the minor league season starts, like the examples of Lowther, Wells, and Aiken? And do you think they'll want to get work at that AAA level first? This is kind of a, you know, a loaded question with a couple of layers from Kevin, but we thank you for the question. And do want to start with the relievers, because, you know, this could become more of a question as the season goes on. You know, we are only, as we speak, you know, 23 games into this 162-game season. We're not even into May yet. But, you know, more relievers could start to struggle. Now, I will tell you right now, you know, Sean Armstrong has pulled things together a little bit after a really bad start, although I would say he is the reliever struggling the most out of the Oriole bullpen right now. Then I would put second is Tanner Scott, but I think he has the stuff to figure it back out. And then after that, really, you know, you've got Dylan Tate, who, you know, the peripheral numbers haven't been great, but he has a 2.45, you know, ERA through his first 8 appearances out of the bullpen. So you will take that. And your other, you know, struggling relievers are Max Scherzer and Tyler Wells, who are your Rule 5 picks, and they don't really fall into this category because the Orioles are looking to hold on to them as long as they can to get a look at those guys and hope they can stay in the organization throughout the year and keep them down the road. But, you know, we did see kind of the first answer to this question on Sunday when the Orioles called up Zach Lowther to make his Major League debut. And, you know, many thought that he should have been called up on Saturday to start instead of Wade LeBlanc. But we talked about on the Monday episode the reason why that decision was not made. But for Lowther, we did get to see him out of the bullpen. You know, we know in the future the plan for him is to be a starter. That's what he's done in his minor league career. But, you know, he comes out of the bullpen in an 8-1 game and works a scoreless ninth on Sunday to finish off the O's 8-1 win over the Athletics, and then immediately gets sent down and Jay Flaw comes up to join the team. So we do know, I think, the Orioles are open to using these guys in relief roles. But I will say, to answer Kevin's question, you know, Lowther was a little bit of a special occasion because he was probably the most ready at this time, that, you know, they are going to try to get these guys innings as starters at AAA Norfolk when the season starts next week on May 4th before they start to make decisions about what their roles will be at the major league level. And, you know, he asks about Aiken in this question. Obviously, Keegan Aiken was probably slated to start on Saturday had he not cut his finger making breakfast, so he gets pushed back. I think when Aiken comes back, he probably starts the year in the AAA Norfolk rotation. I think he'll at least make one start, maybe two, for the Tides before he gets the call up to the Orioles. I think the same goes for Zach Lowther. It was nice to see him come up here, get an inning in, but since they sent him down that quickly, I don't see him coming up. You know, he has to wait 10 days unless there's an injury. I don't see him coming up again before the AAA season starts. And I do think, you know, we talked about this with Ben Palmer of Pitcher List on yesterday's episode, really good episode there, talking about Zach Lowther and John Means. Make sure to go listen to that one if you haven't yet. But we talked about how, you know, Lowther can really benefit from finally getting some AAA innings. You know, he was at Bowie, you know, all of 2019. It was a fantastic year, but he hasn't pitched in AAA yet. So Lowther, you know, is most likely going to be the ace of the Norfolk Tide staff to start the season. And, you know, I would give him a pretty long time in, you know, AAA. I think at the very least he'll start, you know, he'll be in their starting rotation for all of May. I don't think the Orioles make any kind of decision until at least June, get him some good, you know, AAA innings, get him five or six starts at least down in Norfolk before they start making decisions there. I think the same thing will come for Alex Wells. Hopefully he is healthy and ready to go in that rotation. Same thing for Michael Bauman. Hopefully he is healthy and ready to go in that rotation. I think it's a little bit different for Keegan Aiken because he, of course, has the major league experience from 2020. The Orioles' hope coming into spring training was that he would be in the opening day rotation in 21, but he had the struggles with command in spring training, so they sent him to the alternate site. Now he's got the slight finger injury pushing him back even more. So I do think Aiken will make, you know, one, maybe two Norfolk starts, but, you know, I think when they call Aiken up, I think they'll want it to be as a starter, but I could see Keegan Aiken working out of the bullpen whenever he makes his 2021 debut with the Orioles. You know, it could be in some sort of a long relief role. He worked in relief, you know, when he first came up last year before they moved him into the rotation. So, you know, I could definitely see that happening, and the Orioles have shown that pattern over the last couple of times. Aiken's first couple appearances were out of the bullpen before he got to start. Lowther comes up, makes his first appearance out of the bullpen. Now, they didn't do it with Dean Kramer. He came up and went right into the rotation, had those back-to-back really good starts against the Yankees last year, and then, of course, stayed in the rotation. But now, you know, he got sent down, and, you know, we will see him again tonight as they'll recall him to make the start against New York. But we'll see if he, you know, gets moved to the, you know, bullpen at all. But I will say for the Alex Wells, the Zach Lowther, the Michael Bauman types, I can definitely see the Orioles, you know, coming up and putting those guys in relief roles. And, you know, it's funny, Kevin, that you mentioned Sean Armstrong, because not only is he the guy struggling the most out of the Oriole bullpen right now, he's also, I think, the, you know, first expendable guy if the Orioles are looking at this bullpen. And, you know, if things aren't going well for the pen, of course they are so far, but if they start not going well for the pen, he's the first guy that goes, not just because of his numbers, but because of his age. You know, he is 30 years old. And he's had some struggles this year. And again, he's shown good stuff, but he's been a guy that's been on waivers multiple times before. And I don't think the Orioles think of him as any, you know, future piece. And he doesn't have the kind of value that a Paul Fry or a Tanner Scott or guys like that could potentially have in a trade. Sean Armstrong is a little more limited as far as their ceiling and their stuff goes. So he would kind of be the first guy that could get DFA'd by the Orioles. And I could see a situation where if Armstrong would really continue to struggle, and, you know, Keegan Aiken makes, you know, one or two starts in Norfolk. His hand is good. The command's looking a lot better, like it has looked at the alternate site so far. They maybe, you know, call Aiken up and get rid of Armstrong, and Aiken, you know, pitches out of the bullpen for a little bit before they find him, you know, kind of a spot in the rotation. And but the other thing is, you know, Jorge Lopez's time, you know, could be numbered if he continues to struggle. An 8.15 ERA for him through four starts. Orioles don't love that. You know, maybe Aiken takes his spot. Maybe somebody else comes up, take Armstrong's spot. But, you know, the place the Orioles are in is that they're not going to force these younger starters like Lowther and Wells and other guys into relief roles because they need them. They're going to call them up like they did with Lowther, pick and choose a perfect situation, aka an 8-1 game in the ninth inning, to get them an easy appearance, you know, for their first couple of times on a big league mound before they start working them into either high leverage situations or working them into some starts at the major league level. And the other thing is, they have young relievers who they want to get chances to. We see Jay Flaw getting the call up. Isaac Mattson is a guy who's going to get the call up, you know, straight into the bullpen at some point soon here for the Orioles. So, you know, they're going to ease these guys into these situations. I don't think there'll ever be a situation where, you know, Alex Wells gets called up to be a, you know, lefty specialist or something, or, you know, Bauman gets called up and immediately gets the eighth inning for the Orioles. If they get called up and they're not in the rotation, it'll be like a Lowther situation where they're going to pick and choose where to kind of soften them in to the big league mound And I could see that definitely being the structure and the way they do it going forward, because there's going to be a lot of pitchers who are still going to make their debuts this season. And some are going to start in the bullpen. Some are going to come right up and be starters. But I think they're all going to at least get, you know, one or two starts at the majors this year, which will definitely be fun to watch. But we thank Kevin for the question. He had another good question that we're going to answer after the break for our second of two mailbag questions we will answer today. It has to do with the Orioles offense and how it compares to the A's offense that we saw over the weekend. Of course, Oakland had that 13-game winning streak that was finally snapped by the Orioles. But the O's offensive approach and why they've still had those struggles, we'll talk about that a bit after this break. So we will get to our mailbag questions in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, baseball season, of course, is in full swing, and you can track all the action over at betonline.ag. And this week has tons of sports action on the go as well, as the NFL draft is on and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins on Saturday. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action as well. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. So all you need to do is head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So our second and final mailbag question of the day comes again from Kevin, who had a thought about the Orioles' plate discipline, which has obviously been an issue so far this season. Kevin said, "Watching the Oakland hitters this past weekend and their mature lineup really put in perspective for me. My question is, are you alarmed with the quality of at-bats the team is making? Oakland was drawing long counts and extending at-bats, and the Orioles have struggled in that department." Well, first of all, obviously, you know, we know that Oakland is a better team than the Orioles. You know, Oakland came into the series on an 11-game winning streak, 1-2-3 from the O's. You know, the O's had to win that game just to snap a 13-game winning streak for the Athletics. And, you know, the names up and down that lineup, Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Mark Canna, you know, Jed Lowry's figuring it out. It's a better offense than the Orioles have just on paper. But obviously, you know, the Orioles are underperforming offensively as well. You look at, you know, some of their numbers as an offense, as it compares to the rest of baseball. They are 22nd in team WRC plus, which is at 90, a stat that, you know, many think at this point does a really good job of encompassing a lot of offensive stats together. 100 is league average, and, you know, 90 is not great. They're at 22nd right now are the Orioles. You know, you look at, you know, more stats that, you know, are a little easier to understand, I would guess, on base percentage. Orioles 287 team on base percentage. That is 28th in baseball. Only Cleveland and Detroit, the two offenses that probably came into the season looking worse than anyone else's, are the only two teams ranked below the Orioles in team on base percentage right now. So, you know, it hasn't been great for the O's so far this season offensively. And obviously the question from Kevin, you know, also comes with a little bit of a look at, you know, what the Orioles have been doing as far as strikeouts compared to walks go, because it's been a lot of strikeouts. We know, you know, that streak the Orioles were on early in the season with so many games in a row with 10 plus strikeouts at the plate. And the strikeouts continue to be an issue. They are currently 26th in strikeout rate. That is 26.9% of the time they are striking out. Only the Cubs, Brewers, Rangers, and Tigers are worse right now. The best number in the league is 19.2%. That is Houston. And then in the walk rate, that one is not good either for Baltimore. They're 27th right now, 7.3% walk rate. Only Detroit, Anaheim, and Colorado are worst. Best in the league is actually the Yankees at 11.9% walk rate right now. So, you know, it's definitely becoming an issue for the Orioles. And then, you know, other numbers you can look at. Our Fangraphs does a nice job. They have plate discipline numbers, which shows, you know, how much you are chasing out of the zone. The Orioles are chasing 33.8% of pitches out of the zone. That is sixth worst in baseball The lowest number is the Dodgers, just 24.9% of the pitches they are chasing. So it's been an issue, definitely, for the Orioles. And, you know, when you watch, obviously, you know, you see a guy like Ryan Mountcastle, who is really, really pressing. He has the worst number on the team as far as that chase percentage. 43.3% of pitches out of the zone he is chasing. That is worst on the team by far. That's the number that's not going to sustain itself through a whole season, but that's not a way to get hits. And it's interesting because Mountcastle actually did chase a good amount of pitches last year. He just made contact with a lot more pitches last year. And this year, he's only making contact with about 47% of those pitches outside of the zone. Whereas, you know, you look at a guy like Freddie Galvis, who when he's swinging pitches out of the zone, he's contacting them 81% of the time, which leads the Orioles. Cedric Mullins, 76% of the pitches out of the zone he swings at, he's making contact with. And that's closer to what Mountcastle was at in 2020. You know, he may not have had the best plate discipline. It was better than it was this year, but he was also just contacting more pitches out of the zone. I think what's happening is guys are throwing him pitches further and further out of the zone, and he's continuing to chase, but he just doesn't have enough bat control, and frankly, just not a long enough bat to swing it and hit some of the pitches he's been throwing. I mean, if you think about Monday night's game when Mountcastle faced Darren O'Day, which is just an awful matchup for Mountcastle right now. I mean, O'Day struck him out with a slider that was a good couple of feet, you know, off the plate. It was in the other batter's box, and Mountcastle was in full swing mode and missed the ball by a foot and a half, it seemed like. And so that is a little concerning. You know, being in the bottom five in baseball in both the strikeout rate and the walk rate is not a good combination for your offense to have success. And that's going to come up a little bit, but it does, you know, make you think about, you know, do the Orioles have hitters who can, you know, come together and, you know, at least get that strikeout rate down a little bit. And what you'd love as well is to get that walk rate up a little bit, you know, at least get yourself some more base runners, because, you know, this team is really, really struggling right now with the strikeouts, you know, killing rallies, and with the walks just being an issue. So I will say, you know, it is concerning to see these numbers, especially for a guy like Ryan Mountcastle, who is, you know, chasing so many pitches, swinging and missing, you know, so much. He's swinging and missing at over 20% of the pitches that he is swinging at. That is not a good number. You switched around. Cedric Mullins is only at 6.6% this season. So it's definitely an issue how many guys are chasing pitches. You know, the Orioles right now, this is, you know, not a great number you want to have. You know, they have 11 players who are swinging at more than 30% of the pitches outside the zone that they see. That is not going to help you be a good offense. The Orioles definitely have to, at the very least, cut down on that number and start to have a little bit more plate discipline. And the issue is, you know, if you start to call up some of these younger guys, like, you know, Jamai Jones, hopefully we'll see soon. And, you know, we may see Richie Martin again at some point. Hopefully we'll see Yusnail Diaz at some point soon. You know, we will maybe see a Tyler Nevin, a Rylan Bannon. You know, these guys are going to go through struggles early in their big league careers and maybe chasing, you know, a lot of pitches like a lot of rookies do when they first come up. So, you know, it's hard to see a time when this, you know, continues to at least get a little bit better for the Orioles. But you hope that Mountcastle can at least figure it out, and that can start to maybe bring the team in the positive direction, because he has definitely been tough to watch at the plate this season. And listen, you know, you got to swing it at less balls. If you're the Orioles, you got to make contact more. If you're going to win games with the offense they have right now, and it's something they definitely have to work on, being better at plate discipline. And, you know, the other thing, you know, two guys who aren't the biggest parts of their offense, but have been good walk guys and good plate discipline guys have been DJ Stewart and Chance Sisko in the past. And even those two guys, you know, those numbers are way down. Sisko hasn't even drawn a walk yet this year. Stewart is chasing more than he did last year. So even those guys who were leaders in that category, maybe if they start to step it up as well, you know, the rest of the team will follow. But kind of to finish off and answer Kevin's question, it is concerning because the offense has been bad, and it's been the pretty glaring reason why is because of the plate discipline. I think it will get better over the course of a long season. You know, you're not going to be swinging like this all year, but it's a little concerning that it's continued. You know, we're 23 games in and nothing's kind of fixed itself yet. And I would say I'm definitely most worried about Ryan Mountcastle of all the guys because of just how much he's continuing to swing that bat. But thanks everyone who sent in the questions. Again, if we didn't get to your mailbag question this week, We'll get to it in following weeks as well. If you want to send in your own mailbag questions, again, you can email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com, or you can tweet the podcast account at LockedOnOrioles, or tweet me at @ConnorNewcomb_. You can also DM either account. DMs are open for both Twitter accounts to get in those mailbag questions. We will not have a mailbag next week because we're doing our minor league week next week, which I'll tell you a little bit more about on Friday's episode. But the week after that, we will get back to the mailbag. Do have to tell you about another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network before we go. That is the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Phoenix Suns finally put an end to the New York Knicks 9-game winning streak. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So there will not be an episode tomorrow, but we'll be back with you guys on Friday for the final episode of the week. We'll recap both of the Orioles games, both the tonight's game Wednesday and then the Thursday day game on Friday's pod, and look ahead to another series against the Athletics. This time the Orioles go to Oakland for a 3-game weekend series. We'll talk a little bit about that series as well on Friday. We'll be hosting a locker room tomorrow after the Orioles 1 o'clock game against the Yankees. So you can follow me on the locker room app at Connor Newcomb. We'll go live probably about a half hour after the game ends, and you can join in on the conversation in lieu of a podcast episode coming out tomorrow. But again, we will be back on Friday. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.